Congress is considering whether the federal government should intervene to stop abuse in the nation's foster care system. Lawmakers have been examining the state of New Jersey, where two recent cases made headlines. A Collingwood, New Jersey couple was accused of starving their four adopted sons, and the mummified remains of 7-year-old Fahim Williams turned up in a Newark house. NPR's Rachel Jones reports on the aftermath of those cases.
Ironically, news about the four adopted sons of Raymond and Vanessa Jackson broke just one day after the New Jersey Department of Youth and Family Services completed a massive internal review. Officials had examined case records for 14,000 children, fired some staffers, and pledged fundamental restructuring of New Jersey Child Services. The next day, a 45-pound, 19-year-old adoptee was found rummaging for food in the neighbor's trash. The imagery was so shocking, California Congressman Wally Herger said federal officials had to intervene.
As representatives of federal taxpayers, we oversee the billions of dollars provided to states for maintenance payments to foster and adoptive families. In this case, approximately $28,000 was paid last year alone to care for the children in this family.
Herger chairs the House Ways and Means Committee on Human Resources. Last year, Congress spent $7 billion to help states pay for foster care and adoption subsidy programs. People like the Jacksons, who adopt children with serious physical and psychological problems, receive monthly stipends to subsidize their care. At the hearing, the Jackson family's pastor argued the parents were being falsely accused of abusing children with serious eating disorders, though medical evidence contradicts that assertion. Afterwards, New Jersey's Deputy Commissioner of Child Services, Colleen McGuire, tried to explain what some have called the department's shocking lapses of judgment.
Some of the issues facing New Jersey's child welfare system and its failures include a fundamental lack of core principles and standards for practice, uneven case practice, excessive caseloads, inadequate training and supervision for the casework and supervisory staff.
And McGuire admitted an overall lack of accountability. But New Jersey is not alone. Carla Katz heads the Communications Workers of America Local 1034. Her union represents child welfare workers.
In preparing this testimony, I did an internet search for the last 30 days of news. I submitted the words foster care and death, and horribly, there were 321 hits.
Katz said child welfare caseworkers in New Jersey, like those nationwide, have to deal with Stone Age computers and visit dangerous neighborhoods. Representative Nancy Johnson of Connecticut was a Human Resources Committee member when the first round of foster care legislation was passed in the 1970s. Johnson said she's tired of excuses.
We need to hear from you new views, new thinking. Is there any mandatory requirement that foster children attend the local school resource center play sessions? I mean, what are the resources in the community already there?
Johnson pointed to other lapses of common sense in the system. For example, in New Jersey, the Department of Youth and Family Services isn't required to have contact with children and subsidize adoptions once the arrangement is final. There's also no mandated schedule of medical care for children post-adoption, something that might have caught problems with the Jackson children much earlier. Chairman Herger said there will be more hearings about the Jackson case, and officials are still sifting through 20,000 pages of documents related to the investigation. But Commissioner McGuire from New Jersey was able to report some good news. In just 2 weeks, the four Jackson siblings had gained a total of 50 pounds. Rachel Jones, NPR News, Washington.